the handout, because when you're speaking on a topic, you tend to have a lot of texts. So you've got those. And also, I have asked if some of people would read some of the texts as well, just so it's not all my voice droning on. The first reading is from Isaiah, and I'm going to ask Catherine if she'll just come up and read that. Maybe for the other readings, if you would like to stand up where you're sitting and stand up and speak up, that would be fine. Thank you so much.
Okay. Morning, everyone. So we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. And I'm reading from the NIV. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. On the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Thanks, Catherine. Well, this first session is called Health and Wholeness, and then we'll have a cuppa and talk about healing, or will we have a cuppa or just a break? But anyway, then we'll talk about healing. And this afternoon, we'll talk about keeping healthy ourselves and bringing healing and wholeness to others. So I suppose the first thing I always think is, why is it important to have a theology of health and wholeness and healing? And I think the answer is, unless the Lord comes again, we're all going to die. And that means we're all going to get sick or be injured. And our friends and neighbours will be watching us and they'll think, how come that lovely lady, that lovely Christian lady is suffering? Don't they have healing meetings at your church? Why doesn't your God make you better? And we need to know what to say, because as it says in 1 Peter, be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is in you. And when we're poorly, what does our faith teach us? Are we going to call the doctor, or are we going to call the elders, or both? Are we going to pray for healing, or doesn't God heal people these days? If we pray for healing and we're not healed, what are we supposed to think? And does bodily health even matter? I used to listen to Point of View on Radio 4 on a Sunday morning just before 9 o'clock, if they phased it out now, that some years ago, a few years ago, it was Will Self, you know, philosophising, and he said that the Abrahamic religions, which of course includes Christianity, had a spiritual disgust for the incarnate. He was trying to get us to reconnect with our bodies, and he accused Christianity of being all to do with spirituality and having a spiritual disgust for the incarnate. Is that true? I think we can say that bodily health and fitness is not of prime importance. And somebody has got the first reading, which is from Psalm 147.
Psalm 147, verses 10 and 11. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love.
Thank you. The Lord's pleasure, not in the strength of the horse or the legs of a man. Talking to do with stamina, fitness. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. But is physical health of no importance? When God created Adam and Eve, he created something beautiful. He could have created mankind, humankind, as an invisible entity. We could be disembodied spirits, couldn't we? But we're made out of stuff. We're made out of stuff, well, the dust of the earth, the stuff that the earth is made out of, carbon and phosphorus and oxygen and hydrogen and nitrogen and stuff. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Ephesians tells us we're God's workmanship and we're his masterpiece. And the Bible, I think, is quite clear that God is interested in our physical bodies. One of the hallmarks of the ministry of the Lord Jesus was that he healed the sick. He restored health and sometimes life itself. And more than this, God will redeem our physical bodies and give us a real physical heavenly body. We believe in the physical resurrection, don't we? The prophet Job says, "In my flesh I will see God." And God made men and women in his own image, including, as I said, he didn't need to, but including the physical part of us. And God himself took on flesh, became human in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who still has a body, because we believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus. And when we go to heaven, we will see his face. And if we want, we can put our fingers in the scars, can't we? In the nail prints, and we shall be like him. Romans 8:23 says, we eagerly await the redemption of our bodies. And remember, the Apostle Paul compares our physical bodies here to tents, temporary structures. But our physical bodies in heaven will be a forever body, perfectly healthy, and it will just completely eclipse this body, not only in terms of substance, but in terms of beauty and power and splendour. So bodies are important. So what is health then? And is it the same as wholeness? The World Health Organization defines health as, and I quote, a state of complete physical and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. I say to my old friend, I was just thinking of a friend called Shirley, actually, Shirley. When I see my old friend, Shirley, and I say to you, how are you? And she says, fine, thanks. And I know she has a dodgy bowel and arthritis, and her husband died, and, you know, there's social problems, shall we say, there's problems. I say, oh, you know, you're not fine, you shouldn't say that. You don't have complete physical and mental and social well-being, you know. So that would mean none of us are healthy ever, wouldn't it? I just think that I know what they're aiming at, the idea. They're talking about heaven, really, aren't they? But the WHO definition, to me, is unachievable. And the other thing is, of course, it completely ignores spiritual health, which even, I'm glad to say, the General Medical Council recognises. We are allowed these days to take a spiritual history from a patient. I wonder how we would define health then. I've come up with three definitions of health that I like. You might have your own. A simple but holistic definition of health could be the best that I can be. Because we all realise we're never going to be completely well and perfect, not this side of eternity. Not in body, mind or spirit, not until Christ returns in glory. It was John Wesley who said, since the fall, the wholeness to be realised is wholeness within the limits of mortality. Another definition of health that I like, this was by a theologian called Jürgen Moltmann. It was a bit dodgy in some way, so we won't go into that. But he came up with a good definition of health, and he said, in 1985, and he said, the strength to be human. Now, I really like that. It's a good definition for several reasons. Number one, it crosses cultural boundaries. Another one is it's achievable, the strength to be human, and it starts a conversation of what does it mean to be human? And as Christians, we would say that means in relationship with God, in relationship with each others, and in relationship also with the created world, our environment. And the third, and probably the best, well, we know it's the best, the best definition of health is, do you know the Hebrew word shalom? Yeah. It's usually translated peace, and it was actually in the reading that Catherine brought to us. And shalom is about the total well-being of the person and the community. It means completeness, soundness, welfare, agreement, security, friendship. It means fulfillment. It means everything being set right. And one of the names of God in the Old Testament is Yahweh Shalom, and or the Lord our peace. And in the reading that we just had in Isaiah 9, verse 6, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Jesus is, that word there is Shalom. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. One of my favourite passages in Scripture is our reading number 2, which somebody's going to read to us, the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6. Who's got that? Thank you.
So it's Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favour and give you his peace.
Thank you. And that word that you just read, the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Shalom. Give you peace. Any of your men like fishing? Or does anybody here like fishing? Way! Thank you. I know nothing about fishing, but if you've not watched that Mortimer and Whitehouse Gone Fishing, you missed a treat. Have you seen it? They sometimes don't catch anything, do they? But they're two old men sitting on a riverbank and talking. And one of the things that I noticed that they said was, they talk about their heart disease and the surgery they've had and what pills they're on and everything and whether they'll catch a fish. And in one episode, they said, everyone's looking for peace, inner peace. They're looking for it on a riverbank. And I do think that shalom, inner peace, is the deepest longing of every human heart. Of course, Jesus is our shalom. And that reading that we had at the beginning is one we often have at Christmas, isn't it? But we are the people walking in darkness who have seen the great light. We are, verse 2, living in the land of the shadow of death, but a light has dawned because Jesus is the Prince of Shalom. And it was Jesus who came to bring wholeness and health and healing to his people. So health, in the biblical sense, is doable. It's the best you can be. It's the strength to be human in fellowship with God and others, and it's shalom. Let's talk about wholeness. Now, I would sort of define this in terms of body, mind, my brain, mental processes, and spirit. Some people say soul, the spiritual part of me. So body, mind, and spirit. We know that the body, I've said, maybe is not the top priority, but someone's got our third reading, which is from 1 Corinthians 6. Thank you.
Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit
who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your body.
Thank you. Famous passage, isn't it? Temple of the Holy Spirit. Not your own. Honour God with your body. So your body is in trust from God, like your house, or your family, or your car. And your body is a really wonderful thing. I've got a book on my shelves. It's quite thick, and it's all about, you know, how the body heals itself after a paper cut. You know, the coagulation cascade, plural, cascades, which is even more complicated now they know than when I was at medical school. It is phenomenal. What are you going to do with this wonderful body that God designed and that you've been given? And you're going to look after it, aren't you? And I really hope you're going to enjoy it and be a good steward. And, of course, look forward to your new body. I hope you'll forgive me. I like the Living Bible's paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 15, 43 and 44. And somebody is going to read it for us. It's our fourth reading. Thank you. Thank you. It's lovely, that passage, isn't it? The bodies we've got now embarrass us, you know, and become weak and sick and die. But we're looking forward to a superhuman spiritual body. That's the body. What about the mind? Some years ago, I was leaving a meeting at a big hospital in Leicester, the Royal Infirmary, actually, and I was going past Holy Trinity Church. I think I'd parked up there, free parking, just up the road. And I saw a woman coming out of the church with a Bible tucked under her arm. And the strange thing was that we recognised each other, even though we'd not seen each other for decades, actually, because she had been in a hospital when I was doing training in psychiatry. And she had been sectioned and admitted with a psychotic episode because she suffers from schizophrenia. And it's so strange, we recognised each other and we chatted. And I said, and you're coming out of here? She said, I'd been to a Bible study. And she told me how at a later date, after some years after she'd met me, she was readmitted to another psychiatric unit and she'd been saved. And she told me about the transformation in her life. She still has schizophrenia, but her mind is renewed and her focus had completely changed. And I love that verse in Romans, which says, Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And just as an aside there, I know some people say, and I've said it myself, oh, you know, I study the Bible, my mind's like a sieve. It is quite difficult to remember stuff as you get older, isn't it? But somebody said to me, yes, your mind might be like a sieve, but it's just running straight through, but at least it's keeping it clean. And I thought that was good. And anyway, just to finish that story about the lady, as I was standing there, another woman came down the street. She was actually walking in the middle of the road, and she was staggering, quite a young woman. And as she drew near, it was a summer's evening, I could see that her pupils were dilated, and I thought, she's under the influence. And my new friend, coming out of the Bible study, she said to me, she said, oh, got to go, I'm a street pastor now. And she ran after, tucked her Bible under her arm, she ran after that girl, took her arm. They were headed towards A&E, I think, last I saw them. So, the renewal of your mind. And spirit. When I say, how are you? And my elderly friend lies and says, fine, thank you. She means that despite everything, we can still enjoy a cup of coffee and a piece of cake, and she still does her backyard. the pots, and her life does feel worth living, and that's good. It's a start, isn't it? She can do what she wants to do. She's perhaps the best she can be, but is she whole? I'll tell you, she is whole because she's born again. And if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. Because salvation is the first step towards wholeness. This is the shalom, the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ that it speaks about in Romans. And this is where from the shalom from which all health and wholeness and healing spring. I visited an old lady of 98. She's a Christian. She's registered blind. She wants to know all about everyone at church because she prays for them. So she's just as much a member of the church, even though she's housebound. And she says, echoing Job, should I accept good from God and not trouble? So I always think, if you think your life's not worth living because you can't walk properly, or you can't talk properly, or you never win a triathlon, then you've got a very low view of God. Because Christians, we're all made in His image, and Christians were bought with a price. So somebody who's 98 and whose body is definitely wearing out but is in Christ is the best she can be, truly human, experiencing shalom. Somebody who takes antipsychotic medication for schizophrenia or antidepressants for depression, but is in Christ, is the best she can be, truly human, experiencing shalom. Someone whose body is a perfect specimen with great mental health, but whose soul is unregenerate, not in Christ, has none of these things and is not, in biblical terms, whole. Because what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? A think tank discussed and identified what we need for good health. Would anybody like to shout out what we think we might need for good health? Peace?
Food?
Water? Clean water? Great.
Rest.
Sorry?
Sleep and rest?
Sleep and rest? Great. Yeah, yeah.
Somewhere safe to live.
Security, yes. Free. Social security, I suppose, isn't it? Freedom from warfare. Oh, I think you've got them, actually. What did they say? Peace, shelter, education. Oh, yeah, education. Some women are being denied that in some parts of the world, aren't they? Food, income, a stable ecosystem, sustainable resources, social justice. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? We know our country's not perfect, but we're not at war. Not living in Gaza, are we? We have clean water, waste disposal. The bin men come round. Public health departments, social care. Are we grateful? And can we expect to be healthy all of our lives? Apparently we start to age from about the age of 24, 25, and it accelerates after 40. We're doomed. That's not in my... That bit's not in my notes, but anyway. But good news, because Paul and Timothy wrote to the church at Corinth, and somebody's got reading number 5. Thank you. It's 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, this is why you never give up, though our bodies are dying, and our bits of such troubles are here. Okay. Yeah, again. This is why we never give up, though our bodies are dying, our spirits being renewed every day.
That's lovely, actually. Different version to what I've got. Yeah, yeah. Though our bodies are dying, that's interesting, isn't it? In my NIV, it says, though outwardly we're wasting away, same idea. And it said it's spirit being renewed. So inwardly we're being renewed day by day. We've got to hold on to those verses, haven't we? Because we do know that God allows us to grow old and to wear out and to be ill. So I suppose we might think to ourselves, well, why not? You know, it's all very well being whole. But why not complete wholeness and health and healing Now, the big answer, of course, is that we're still waiting for Christ to come again and to restore all things to himself. It said in our reading, Isaiah 9, in verse 2, on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. It only says it's dawned. The kingdom has begun, but it's not yet fully present. But the kingdom will come, because it says in verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And then a bonus, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So from our point of view, it's a not yet complete healing and wholeness for us, not yet. And I'm going to suggest some reasons why not, some in this session and some in another. And I think we can say that one reason why not yet is so that Christ's power may rest upon us, because as the scriptures say, when we are weak, we are strong. And God loves to use the things that are despised and the things that are not to confound the wise. We have this treasure in jars of clay. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7. What's this treasure? It's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But it's in this jar of clay. Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians about his thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was, do we? Somebody's got reading 6, in which Paul speaks about his thorn in the flesh. Thank you.
2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9 says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from you, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ rest on me.
That's wonderful, isn't it? It's a mystery. So that Christ's power may rest on me. Another reason, so that we may be conformed to Christ's image. Speaking to the Romans about Christians suffering, Paul talks about being predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. In Isaiah, a furnace of affliction is spoken of. And James talks about suffering, developing perseverance and maturity, wholeness, if you like. It is a mystery. You will have heard of Johnny Erickson Tada. She has quadriplegia. And as if that wasn't enough, she has chronic pain in the limbs that she cannot use or move. She can't feel them properly, she can just feel pain. And she had cancer and chemo. And then she had a recurrence of cancer and another round of chemotherapy. And I thought, probably with a lot of people all around the world, hasn't she had enough? But she wrote, God is less interested in my physical well-being and more interested in strengthening my soul. I'm not the same Johnny I was before cancer. I know I can feel that I'm becoming more like Jesus. Now, she doesn't minimize suffering, not at all. She calls suffering splashovers of hell. But she does say, in every painful moment, Christian, God is with you, ready to embrace you with his comfort and mercy. There's a quote here from Ephesians 4, verse 15 to 16, and I've put most of these texts down on that little slip of paper just so that you can reference them if you want. But these are wonderful verses. And I'm reading from the ESV this time. I do switch my versions around, don't I? But this one says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, suffering does take us back to the foot of the cross. So it's a not yet. It's a not yet so that Christ's power may rest upon us, so that we may be conformed to Christ's image, and so that we may comfort others. Someone's got reading number 7, which is from 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Thank you. I think there's a book, isn't there, called Invest Your Suffering. And it, with God, nothing is wasted. So when we suffer, it's of some use. This isn't in my notes either, actually, but it's something that happened just before I retired. Some years ago, we had a tragedy in our family, and it was known about where I worked. So I was going through the reception area, and I saw one of the nurses in tears. I said, "Are you all right?" She said, "Don't want to talk about it." Anyway, she went to her consulting room and I went to mine on the same corridor. And she said, she stopped at the door. We lock our doors these days. People nip in and steal your handbag if you don't. Anyway, that's true. But she stopped at her door and she looked at me down the corridor and she said, "You've suffered, haven't you?" Like that. And she took me in her room and she told me all about it. And I won that right to have the conversation with her because she thought I might understand about suffering. Do you see what I mean? In comfort with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. She's not a Christian. And remember that in biblical uses, comfort, if you know German or the old languages, comfort, forte, like in music, strength, power, with strength. That's what comfort is about. It's not there, you know, it's not just consolation, it's to strengthen and encourage as well as to console. And I do think that suffering enables us to help others. I mean, who would I go to if my husband died? I might seek out another widow for a bit of advice and a bit of, she would understand, wouldn't she? And who would I go to if my child died? That's why we have baby loss agencies and charities often set up by people who know what they're talking about. Someone who understands. Years ago, I was on holiday and I had a miscarriage and lost a lot of blood. I was feeling terribly sorry for myself. We were abroad. We went to church. Usually I love it if somebody sings for you. This beautiful girl got up, she looked about 15, and she sang this song. I really took objection. She sang, "Where the skies are cloudy, where the skies are grey, I'm happy in the Lord anyway," like this. And I thought, you're happy in the Lord anyway, whatever happens, you know. I thought, you've never had a day's sickness in your life. You're young, you're beautiful, you've never had any, there I was, I just lost my baby, you know, feeling sorry, lost blood, feeling sorry for myself, I'm a bit mardy, as we say in the Midlands. And she was singing this jolly song all about she was happy in the Lord anyway. And I thought, well, maybe somebody stole a Kit Kat out of your lunchbox, you know. But I could not take that teaching from her. You see what I'm the point I'm making? I couldn't take that teaching from her, but I can take it from Johnny Erickson Tada. She knows what she's talking about. It's only human, isn't it? We're not singing that later, are we, Shirley? No, just checking. So that Christ's power may rest upon us, so that we may be conformed to Christ's image, so that we may comfort others and care for others. Somebody's got reading number 8, when Jesus is actually speaking of the last judgment. It's Matthew 25, verse 36. Who's got... Thank you. Yeah, I needed clothes, you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. It's all about comforting others with the comfort that we receive from God. And it's interesting to me that at the last judgment, it's going to be I was sick and you visited me, not I was sick and you healed me. That's interesting. We're coming on to healing in session two. But that's interesting, isn't it? Let's conclude. Let's wrap it all up. What is health? It's peace with God. It's shalom that only he can give us. What is wholeness? It's body, mind and spirit, and it's not complete, and it won't be till we get our brand new bodies in glory, our resurrection bodies. And we can't expect to be healthy all our lives, but when we are weak, we are strong. And we should be grateful for all the blessings that we enjoy. Christ's power rests on us. We're being conformed to his image. And we can comfort others with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. Shall we just have a little prayer? May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify us through and through. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls us is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.